colleague and the people that the Lord has blessed her to pastor. And we are blessed to be here. Let me just start at verse 21, reading from the King James Version. And I'll be skipping some verses. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet. And he besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Let me skip down to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter, James, and John, the brother of James.
Yes.
And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado, and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. The Word of God. Amen. I want to speak to you on the subject tonight, your theme, A Closer Walk with God.
Yes.
A Closer Walk with God. Tonight, our Lord has inspired me to bring a message concerning a family man named Jairus.
Amen.
To help us with our theme, A Closer Walk with God is a wonderful theme.
Yeah.
There is something special about this account that can help all of us have a closer walk with God. This account has an A and B side. Just when one may think the account, the story, or the report is over, it continues. Despite the setbacks and interruptions, Jairus listens to Jesus. What a shock to go to sleep, and just a few hours later, a mother and father, an only daughter, is sick. Mother and father finds their only daughter sick, and each day, the sickness becomes worse. No one knows why or how this sickness has come about. why this change has come, why, what has happened, what happened overnight. She was well, but then she got sick. Why the worst comes out now? The doctor's report continues to be bad news. What can you do? Jairus was a man who had faith in God. And after he was there, ruler, if you will, a man who had faith in God, a man who knew God as a ruler of the synagogue. After all, he was a ruler, and therefore he appeared to be in position with some healthy money. Therefore, he should have at least have a complete relationship with Yahweh. But does he? What Jairus is about to do, I am not sure if anyone would find it that they would be so caring and loving over a girl child to put themselves in this position of risking everything and even their rank and position. A girl child back in that day didn't mean much to a lot of people because they would lose their name anyhow and there was no legacy to go on. If it was a boy child, then, you know, you might understand it a little more. This is someone that will carry my name. But a girl child, well, they were looked at as property. So this is what makes this story all the more important and connecting, because it's a girl child and his heart goes out for this 12-year-old child. He's a family man, if you will. And Jairus heard that Jesus was returning to them, and he desperately went to meet Jesus. Isn't it strange? One side wanted Jesus to leave after he cast out all those demons out of that person. On the other side, and Jesus cast the demons out, and they went into the pigs, and the pigs went into the sea, and the people got angry. They got so angry, they didn't even count that somebody's life was saved. They were more thinking about their money. And they wanted him to go. Get out of here, Jesus. But the other side was, come on, Jesus. Come on in. We need you over here. Something is happening in our presence. Something is happening that we can't handle, and we need a Jesus. Oh, aren't you glad that Jesus is coming? And you said, thank you, Jesus. Others may not want him, but we want him. We know that we need him. I'm so glad about it. And so here, desperately went to meet Jesus. This man Jairus desperately went. Perhaps in the past he believed he had no need to meet Jesus. He had no need to speak up for Jesus, no matter what or how many miracles he may have heard about or have witnessed for himself. He could not afford to lose his religious friends and his high position. And so in the past he probably thought, I don't need him. He must have felt that he had no need for the need of Jesus. And I think that some of us have been in that position where we didn't think that we didn't need Jesus. I don't need him. But one day, something happened to our lives where we couldn't go without Jesus. I need thee every hour. Every hour I need thee. And there's something about that, that I need Jesus. And so here, he felt that he had no need to meet Jesus. But one day, one girl, one family, one crisis changed all of that. Jairus had a walk with God, but now he and his family needed to have a closer walk with God. You can have a walk with God, but that day may come where you need a closer walk. To the garden alone while the dew is still on the ropes. And so here, Jairus needed to meet Jesus. He had a need before. He didn't think he had a need, but he needed to meet Jesus. His daughter was sick, and she probably had doctor after doctor looking at her, but they couldn't help her. And he probably remembered, well, whatever I am, whatever position I have, I'm going to have to deny it. I'm going to have to denounce it. So there are at least five things Jairus did that led him to have a closer walk with God. And we need to consider these five things tonight, these five aspects. If one desires a closer walk with God, then one should practice yielding to God. We have to practice yielding to God. Let me tell you, you ain't got it and I ain't got it. Paul said that he didn't have it. Paul said, I still apprehend. I'm still pressing on. So if we think we got it, we're on a wrong boat, because we never get it until we get to heaven. But it's all right to press on and to get more of what God wants us to have. But the thing about it is that we should practice yielding to God. Now, when one drives up to a yield sign, one should slow down and be prepared to stop, especially if there's oncoming traffic. Accidents do happen because some people ignore the warning signs or the safety signs. You drive on the highway today, ain't nobody yield. You know, we just merge in. It didn't say merge in, it said yield. That means to stop if you have to, slow down because you must. Ain't nobody slowing. Well, I can't say ain't nobody. Amen. I had a yield and stop today, or I would have gotten into an accident. But you have to yield, slow down, and if necessary, stop. But people today want to merge in. You know, let me just squeeze in here. And the thing about it is that we got to yield to God. There's no squeezing in with God. God is already able to make room, but there's a reason why we need to yield to God. Because God has a safety sign up saying that when I want you to be still and know that I am God, you won't have any problem stopping because you already yield. You see, somebody gets hurt when we don't yield to God. I don't know if you got that, but everybody is one, and it just takes one person not to yield to God to throw things out of order. But it takes one family member to get out of order not to yield to God. When we yield to God and everybody is on one accord, that means that something good is going to happen. But accidents do happen because some people ignore the warning signs or the safety signs. In many ways, it is the same principle with God. If one desires to have a closer walk with God, then one should practice yielding to God. We all know what it is to yield. To yield means to surrender, to give up. The family that surrenders to God will receive splendor and blessings from God. Yielding to God is saying the only way that we can find out who has the right of way is God. He has the right of way. Yielding to God is saying, Lord, you are the only one who has the right of way. It is you, Lord. You have the right of way in my life. You have the right of way in my being. You have the right of way. You do what you want, when you want, how you want, if you want, because you're the sovereign one. So therefore, I yield to you, Lord. I yield to your will. I yield to your yes. I yield to your no. Yield to God. You see, because what we're saying is that God, you have the final word. You have the final. I have no reason or no clout to argue with you. If you tell me to slow down, I need to slow down. If you tell me to stop, I need to stop. Jairus received a blessing from God because he yielded to the Son of God. Jairus went to meet Jesus. The Bible says when he saw him, he fell at Jesus' feet. In other words, Jairus surrendered to Jesus. Jairus gave up. He gave up his pride, his position, and his power. That's how much he loved his child and his family. Jesus blessed Jairus due to the fact that Jairus yielded to God. That's about prayer. When we are yielding to God, that means that we are praying. We are asking God to come and to do. We're asking God to empower us that we may glorify him and do his will. Jairus needed to see Jesus for himself about his daughter with a selfless attitude. Not a selfish attitude, but a selfless attitude. A humble attitude, a pleading attitude, and a believing attitude. Jairus not only saw Jesus for himself, but when he saw him, he yielded to him. And he yielded to him in the right way. What he did, he humbled himself. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 tells us to yield ourselves to God. Victory only comes when we yield ourselves to God. Anybody think that they could get any victory without yielding themselves to God, it will find a rude awakening. Because the only way that we can get victory is that we yield to God. To practice serving God. It is not good to not serve God. Serving God is one of the main factors in our being. Jesus showed us in verses 23 and 24 how to serve for the glory of God. Remember, Jesus did not come to be served, but to serve. Verse 23, Jesus listened to this father's plea. Jesus gave this man the attention he needed. But the crux is in verse 24. The Bible says Jesus went with him. That's something. That's comforting right there. When the man said, I need for you to come with me. Now, Jesus could have said, like he said to one of the other rulers, if you will, that said, well, my servant is sick. And Jesus said, well, come on under my roof. No. Jesus said, I'll go with you. And the man said, no, you don't need to come. All you need to do is speak the word. And it shall be done. And Jesus said, I have not found so much faith in all of Israel. And Jesus could have done that. This man needed for Jesus to go with him. You know, no matter how much somebody prays for us, we need Jesus to go with us. And I thank God for the prayers, but I need Jesus to go with me. And I know that if the prayers is saying, Lord, go with him, I'm all right about it. I want to know if I have a witness. Somebody is praying and saying, go with him. Give him the power. Give her the power. Oh, there's something about that. So this man said to Jesus, my daughter is sick. And Jesus went with him to his home. Jesus looked beyond this man's thoughts and saw his need. Don't forget, this man probably talked against Jesus. He probably said things against Jesus, but Jesus overlooked that. And isn't that something that we are called to do? That we are called to overlook things and try to have a new beginning. We may get upset with family members, but the thing about it is that we need to have a new beginning. We need to say, all right, yesterday was yesterday. Let us move on with the Lord. Jesus went with him. This man may have been considered as an enemy of Jesus, but Jesus went with him. He looked beyond his faults, and so is me. This man may have spoken against Jesus many times. He probably did, just like his friends did, synagogue rulers, if you will. But Jesus looked beyond his fault. No matter what others may say, we are called to serve God anyhow. No matter what others may do, we are called to serve God anyhow. And family members, sometimes they don't always get it together. And so we got to pray for family members. We don't need to be against family members. And if family members are not only in our home, they're right here when they come in through these doors. Family members. And if they're not family members of Rochester Baptist Church or Victory Baptist Church, they're family members of the family of God. And so therefore, we need to do right and be right, treat right, so that the Lord may bless. Sometimes it takes a little more time. We give up on anyone else. We are called to serve God anyhow. Even though people may say and do, we are called to serve God anyhow. Because sometimes we are those people who mess up and do things to other people. And we got to ask the Lord for forgiveness. And then we got to go back to the person and ask the Lord for forgiveness. Yes, even before we bring our tithes to the altar, we need to make things right. Strengthen the family. It is impossible to really serve God without serving each other. It's hard, and it's not right, but it's hard to really serve God without serving each other. And say, how is that? Well, I want to tell you, John in his epistle said, how can you say you love God and hate your brother who you see every day, or your sister? And so, in other words, when we are serving one another, that means that we are loving God. That's the gospel. God wants us to love one another. What did he tell his disciples? That was a family. And even though they got things out of place, James and John went to Jesus and they said, can one sit on your right hand? And the other one on your left, and all of this, and they got indignant and all of that. They still had to come together. And what did Jesus do? We see him getting down on his knees, taking a basin of water, and washing their feet. And he says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, you got to be the servant of all. And so we got to serve one another if we're really going to serve God. Amen. Called to serve one another because we must serve God, and we must serve God first. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2 tells us that the Christian life is a life of service. Paul tells us that serving God is right. It is our reasonable service. So if we really want to have a closer walk with God, we must first yield to God, and then we must also serve Him. We must be instructed how to serve God. And this is found in His Word. Third point, and I'm going to move on quickly. If anyone desires a closer walk with God, then one should practice separation. We must know that when God calls us, He separates us. He doesn't have us to walk to the same beat. We ought to walk to a different beat. We ought to do a different thing. We ought to do God's thing. We are new creatures in Christ. We ought not to be doing the old thing. But Lord, have mercy. God is not finished with us yet, but we ought to be pressing on. We are a work in progress. We ought to say, Lord, if I mess up, please give me strength. Yes, yes. In verses 35 and 36, we find that the ruler must make a choice to which he will listen, believe, and follow. It was time for him to discern. He heard the bad news. His daughter, of whom he tried to prevent from dying, is now dead, according to the human report, that is. But now Jesus gives his side of the truth, which is good news. Jesus says, be not afraid, only believe. Now this is, when Jesus said this, this is after they were interrupted by the lady who was bleeding for 12 years. They're on their way to see a 12-year-old girl that has just reported that she had just died, but a lady for 12 years had been bleeding, and Jesus said, who touched me? You would think that all the power had gone out of Jesus, but there is restoring power. Oh, there's replenishing power. God is always giving power. Jesus, now the man said, come with me. But now Jesus is saying to him, let's go. And he led Jesus so far, but now Jesus said, let's go. Because who are you going to believe? Their report or our report? Who are you going to believe? You came all the way to see Jesus. Who are you going to believe? Sometimes we come all the way to church. Who are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what we heard during the week? And so here, he has to make a choice. And Jesus says, only believe. I'm almost sure that all kinds of doubts and thoughts was going through this man's mind. But the blessing was, he heard the words of Jesus. Yes. Don't be afraid. Yes. Only believe. Oh. You know how Satan gets. And Satan begins to give us different things of what could happen and what we want to hear, if you will, from his perspective and all of that. He says, you want to hear this, you want to hear that. But in the midst of all that, only believe. Only believe. You know how the enemy attacks and says that this is not going to happen and that's not going to happen, but only believe. You know how that works. You know how the enemy says, your family is broken up, but only believe that God is able to mend broken families and make families that are not broken even stronger. Oh, I'm so glad about it. I'm so glad about it. And so here it is, only believe. I'm almost sure that this man was attacked by his thoughts, But we must learn how to separate the doubts and the doubters from the word only believe. Well, there are times when people will say, well, it won't happen. It won't happen, but have a closer walk with God. Keep on going. Because the only one that can make it happen is God himself. Amen. And Paul said in Romans 1:1 about separation. He says, I'm separated for the gospel of God. We're separated to be testifiers. And we're separated to testify that God has blessed us to believe. If God didn't bless us to believe, we wouldn't be here tonight. Come on, somebody. You know I'm running. I know I'm running back. If God didn't bless us to believe, we wouldn't be here tonight. Somebody separated from something and came to Jesus and said, then we should practice being spirit-filled. If not, we yield to God, we serve God, we separate ourselves so that we can serve God, but then we need to be spirit-filled. Amen. Praise the Lord. Because being spirit-filled puts us in touch with the Holy Ghost. What I'm talking about. I'm talking about it goes beyond ordinary religion. An ordinary church service is something on the inside, working on the outside. It's something that's happening in your life. Nobody may understand it, but you understand it. Oh, when that joy comes, you say, yeah, I'm singing the psalms unto God. I'm speaking to myself in the words of God. I'm letting the Lord use me. Isn't that what he feels? Spiritually filled. I don't care what comes against that family. You can't knock it down. No one can knock down And so Jesus gave reason for this ruler and his family to seek God through Jesus. This man had to realize that God was in Jesus. And when the 12-year-old child was there, they separated themselves. See, they had to get away from those professional mourners.
Then one should practice a mature life in Christ.
One's a practice. I'm a tour life. When we have a mature life in Christ, it's easier for us to yield to God.
Yes, it is.
Amen? So it's like a circle. The more mature we get, the more easier it becomes to yield to God. We yield to God. Serve God. Separate ourselves from negativity and all of that. Go, retreat, pray, so that we can get back in there, having on the whole armor of God. Spirit-filled.
Yeah.
Amen. And when you're spirit-filled, you're not going to put anybody down like that. You're going to try to lift them up.
Amen.
And if you happen to put them down, go in your secret closet and pray, because we are not perfect. But the thing about it is that we learn from our mistakes. Spiritually filled. Be spirit-filled. Spirit-filled is coming in. It's not just a shout, but it's something about the joy of just being with Jesus. But the mature life is about being in that Word, being in the Word, being in prayer, being in fellowship. Here we are with our meditation, if you will. Mature life in Christ. Family that has a mature life in Christ is going to know how to handle the problems, because God is working. We move from milk to meat. Mature life in Christ is about growing in grace. In verse 43, Jesus charged them that they should not tell anyone what happened. He charged them for that. Don't tell them what happened, because you don't even know what happened. They were in amazement. They were surprised. You don't even know what happened. How you going to tell somebody what happened when you don't know what happened? When we get into that point when we don't know what happened, we just have to say it was His grace. I don't know how it happened. I don't know when it happened, but I know it happened. But I can't tell you. So here, Jesus did not want anyone to limit or label him as a miracle worker, because then the purpose would have been lost, that he would have been sent and they would have misunderstood that Jesus is a miracle worker only. No. Jesus came with the full package. He came with the power of redemption. The people needed to know God's word and God's grace. Too often today, people are trying to follow a preacher or a pastor instead of growing in God's grace. You know what? What I'm saying is this, is that you can't follow the preacher or the pastor until you know God. And you grow in God. There's nothing more than what a pastor loves, is that their people will grow and mature. Or the pastor. What it's saying is that they're dependent on somebody. So, wait a minute. If that preacher or pastor moves away or something else happens, where are you? Where is the family? The church family? Where is it? But when you're mature and you're growing in grace, amen, even when the pastor goes away on vacation, things are the same. People are joining the church. Amen. And things are the same, because something is happening when that new member begins to know the promises of God. You say, amen. Glory to God. When that member that's been in church for a long time and said, I got it. Praise God. There's something about that, because then you can say, listen, I can't make it over there, but like a mature believer.
Amen.
Amen. Because that means that they've been spending time with God.
Yeah.
Oh, whenever a member, a disciple, if you will, spends time with God, oh, that's a pastor's delight. Amen. And not only a pastor's delight, that's a delight to the whole congregation. Because now that fellowship comes in. We start sharing in different things like that. So that's the deal. Too often, people are following pastors and preachers when we ought to be following and growing in God's grace. Now, when you're growing God's grace, you can follow the pastor. The pastor's leading you. But you follow the pastor with the understanding that I am here, God has blessed me. I'm not against you, I'm for you. Let us pray together. Jesus wanted the witnesses to focus on God's eternal purpose instead of focusing on a few events. Too often people come to church looking for a miracle when we are the miracle through the results of God's grace. Don't you know that? You are the miracle. You're the miracle. You're the miracle. Don't come to church looking for a miracle. You are the miracle. So when you come through these doors, you already prayed up. You already been in touch with God. You already have been touched by God. You're the miracle. Amen. You're the miracle. And when all these gifts come together, oh, there is an explosion. Stronger. We know that when we are maturing in God's grace, when we come to the point to accept it, it is not about us. It's about God. Nothing I have done, but it was God's grace. It was God's grace. And I'm so glad for His grace. Church, I know you know something about God's grace. You know that it wasn't by any human power that got you.
Yeah. Hey.